Welcome to
In Response,
a legacy podcast.
I'm Philip Klein.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy. So, Peter,
yep.
You're brewing a great...
What are you brewing?
Yeah, I'm currently on 4-color painter or various painter lists containing Lutri or Yoren, and currently I'm on the 80 cards versions with Yoren, and yeah, I really like the lists pre-Ikoria, so I will try out the new lists containing my companion Yoren in the future, in the next days, on Magic Online and X-Mage. So yeah, this is my adventure nowadays. What's your playing, Philip?
At the moment, I'm still trying to get my Hollowine brew running.
the especially spicy one.
yeah, it's especially spicy because I cut the bolts yesterday. But Yorian just is too much all the time.
Yeah, you can't beat everything, I would say.
It's just a tick too slow, I think.
Yeah, but before we talk about decks all that much, why don't we just introduce each other?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so mostly the viewers or the listeners won't know us because we are mostly known in the Austrian area.
Yeah, basically, because we are from Austria. And for those who don't know this, it's not Australia.
It's so, not the one with kangaroos, it's the one with Hitler. If you want to know about it. Or Mozart, if you want to know it without the war context.
Oh my god, I didn't see this one coming. I thought it was in cows or Sound of Music or something. But no.
I mean, you gotta be honest. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my
it's
god.
True. It's true.
Okay. Philip, let's talk about you for a second.
Yeah, so I'm Philip and I'm playing Legacy since 2012.
Yeah. 2012, which block was that? Or which edition?
That was Innistrad block and I started with Dark Ascension.
Okay, yeah.
But it didn't start with Magic. I started back in Onslaught block with Legions.
Mm-hmm. But not very, no.
Nah, very casually.
Mm-hmm.
And just with friends at school and got introduced into the game.
Did you attend to, or did you go to a game store or card?
No. We just traded cards in school and just had fun there, and I had a very, very limited card pool. My first deck actually was a mono black zombie deck, and we played with house rules.
Yeah,
and like,
I remember that stuff.
Yeah, the house rules were, well, it's turn one, I can put all my lands into play and cast everything.
We had what is called, there is the storm mechanic, right? But we had a rule at school, which you also called Storm, which said that if you don't have any cards in your hand, you can draw 7 fresh new cards in your hand.
Yeah, we also had this.
We had this one too.
Yeah.
We had it in Yu-Gi-Oh! Too. When we played, so it was
crazy. Basic, if you think about it now.
Yeah, if you think about it with the knowledge we have now, it's just...
I mean, we didn't know what the stack was. I was the only one who printed out that... The rule text for Magic, it was, I think, about 40 pages or something like that.
Okay.
And,
wow, that's way too much.
where you got explained the stack. And so, yeah, you have the first in, last out principle. And yeah, what the fuck?
And everybody thought, oh my god, what a nerd. Who cares about the rules? Let's play this.
I mean, I started with a 75 cards tournament package from Mirrodin.
Nice.
So everything contained every equipment I had, because equipments, they are so powerful, I have to play it. And yeah, the first time I really had a deck was on black, red vampires, which was fine, but €5 for a boat was just too much, so I was playing without boats and without removal, because my vampires and me are amazing, and we had one guy in our play group who played slivers, and the slivers were just too much.
Actually, because you say slivers, I was very amazed by the slivers back in Onslaught. So, the second deck I built was slivers. It was very basic for this, and also very casually. But it was a hell of fun. And then I laid back Magic for, I think, 3 to 4 years. I started again in 2006 with Time Spiral. Specifically during Planar Chaos, with the Planar Chaos pre-release. And that was also my first dive into competitive or into tournament Magic. Mm-hmm. And I started playing Standard and Block Constructed during this period of time. Made my first, as I played my first tournament, also had my first GP in...
Where was it?
In Firenze.
In Italy.
In Italy, yeah. It was Time Spiral Block Constructed.
2006.
I think 2007.
Okay.
And it was Time Spiral Block Constructed. And I still know I played... I always had this fable for weird off-the-wall decks, which are not the kind you see every day. I still don't like playing Tier 1 decks. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of... hindering myself, actually, at making tournament progress, but that's just the way I have the most fun with all my decks. And I played Mono Blue Aggro.
Okay, which was the standard T1 deck last year.
Yeah, but...
but not in the time you were playing.
Not in that time, because that was the time Future Sight was, and Tarmogoyf was a card.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
And there was blue-green Tarmogoyf almost everywhere, and one of the best decks was called Dral Nudu Louvre. Okay. And it was basically a Mystical Teachings control deck with Dral Nudu Licklord.
Okay, what does the card do?
I think it's 5 mana for a 3/5. Which can tap for to give a card in your to give an instant or sorcery card in your graveyard flashback.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. So value town.
Value, yeah.
So yeah, and but I don't know actually now. It had some drawback also stapled onto it, and but it was really great and really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, which edition was it?
I think it was Time Spiral.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the decks I still know about this time period, but I don't actually know it if it was block constructed or if I just think it was standard now.
Yeah,
I'm not sure actually.
Okay.
But
you didn't play that deck, you played Mono Blue
Aggro. I played Mono Blue Aggro to a 3/5 finish.
At the GP.
At the GP, it's actually not that bad.
Yeah, for the first GP, definitely.
For the first GP, and it was a hell of a fun. And but soon after that, our LGS closed. So I had other things to do, so I made another pause from MTG and started back again in 2012 with Dark Ascension.
Yeah. Okay.
I also, back in the time, had from Standard also a black-white aggro control deck from 2007, the Time Spiral Ravnica Standard. And I still have my Dark Confidence from that day. And I still have them now. So I've got the going for me, which is nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was also great. And it was very funny because I took my standard deck from 2007 and went into the new LGS and simply got crushed by a standard deck. Mm. I got crushed by, I think, Red Black Vampires in Innistrad.
Yeah, it could be. It was definitely a deck in that time.
Yeah.
Because it had the 3-mana Lord with First Strike.
Yeah, and the 1-mana which the, grows whenever it attacks.
Which can't be blocked by humans.
Yeah, which can't be blocked by humans. And I still played my Savannah Lions and Dark Confidant and Castigate and... what was the... In Faith's Feathers, but... Yeah, still love this deck. It was great.
But it was standard, so no legacy.
So no legacy,
At this point, yeah.
And then I surfed the forums and I got into Modern for, I think, a week or something. I wanted to build Modern, yeah. And I had my... actually, I had my first legacy deck back in 2007. That was Fairy Tide. It's like Spiral Tide, but Tide Spiral was banned at this moment.
Yeah.
So you played with Cloud of Fairies, but I never got to finish it. So I just had it on a, I think, 75% finish, and the rest was proxies. And I had nobody to play Legacy with.
Yeah.
But that was my first dive into the format. And funnily enough, when I went into the LGS in 2012 to sell some of my old cards and to buy Modern cards, one of our friends, Michael, said to me, "Yeah, why don't you come to us and play Legacy?" And there's almost a deck like this. It was Death in Texas, which I tried to build with Leon and Arbiter and for Modern, yeah, and Thalias. And yeah, I traded for a good portion of the Legacy Death in Texas, proxied the rest, and we played in his basement.
Nice.
For the first 2 years or so, and then we had a new LGS, which we have also now, and now we're sitting here.
So yeah, then the whole story with the Linzer Legacy Liga started.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
When did you originally had the idea to start a league like that? When did it, come to life?
So we're talking about the league now.
The Linzer Legacy League.
Okay. Yeah, for viewers, for our listeners, we have in Austria something like a legacy league, where we can we have our weekly FNMs and have a rating system or a league system. So we and play in seasons, so we can determine who is the champion of this year, the legacy champion of the year, and now we are going into the sixth season now in September, and hopefully we have a lot of seasons to come. And I first had the idea when we were driving to the Legacy Open to Vienna, and we were four people in the car, and I always had the urge to have something like a league, but more. I never liked the system, like GPs or pro tours or something, because they are always just looked at the moment, yeah, because sometimes you just have a bad day and But that's not your skill, yeah? That's not your skill levels. So
you're more interesting in looking at
a broader spectrum.
At a broader spectrum, yeah. Because one tournament usually isn't enough to draw enough data from it.
Yeah.
So you
definitely
need more matches to really determine who has
the best skill.
Who's the best player? Yeah, yeah. Or simply who's the best player. And so the idea of the league was born. But there were some obstacles because we didn't have the right league format right away.
Mm. Yep.
And so I just kicked back the idea for I think a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had the urge to do something like that. And then we just tried. We tried with test seasons, we tried with several systems and league formats and point ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Until we have seen that the point rating we have now and the point rating we have now is always improved. So yeah, let's see.
6 seasons now to come.
Six season starts in September.
Regular
season, actually.
Regular season, yeah. We had two test seasons, season 0 and season 0.5,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which are still on the website.
Yeah, still available at legacyliga.net.
And yeah, also the coronavirus had unfortunately stopped our fifth season.
Of course, yeah.
Which was the first one that I think was elongated to contain a whole year.
Yeah, because at first the seasons were half a year with just 20 Friday Night Magics. 20 tournaments, and now we're trying to incorporate 36, I think.
Yeah, with one large pause in the summer and one small one at around the winter holidays.
Yeah, yeah, again.
So what are your biggest accomplishments in Magic?
Yeah, like I said previously, my first GP, the 3-5 finish at GP Firenze. Was probably my first real big tournament. Then I've won my first tournament back in 2016. It took a long time till I could win a tournament. I think it was a Legacy Open in Linz. I think I played Death in Texas and won in the finals versus, I'm not sure, it was Esper Stoneblade?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly sure it was after True Name came out, so yeah, I think it was Esper Stoneblade.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it before? I don't know, actually, 2014 or 2015 or 2016, somewhere in this time period. Certainly before Terminus was printed. Nah, Terminus was also called before Top Miracles was the best deck.
Okay, so this must be 2014, I think.
Then was 2014, yeah.
Because 2015 to 17, I think, was the Top Miracles era.
Mm.
If I remember correctly.
Then it was 2014 because Top Miracles were for sure not the best deck at this moment.
So it wasn't completely figured out.
No, because I think
the pieces were all together in the format for a longer period of time.
But I still can remember playing against Philipp Schönegger at a Legacy Open, where he still brewed on Miracles.
Okay.
And he played with Rest in Peace Main and Mishra's Factories and the Terminus
package.
Everything like that, and I just lost horribly.
Yeah, Terminus is just a beating for Death in Texas if it can resolve.
Yeah, but during the Top Miracles era, I actually have to say Miracles was one of my favorite matchups because you just were so favored with Death and Taxes. You only needed...
You can't spin the wheel with Senseless Divining Top, I think. Because you don't have the mana to do it.
That wasn't the problem. Actually, you only had to have a Caracas, a Violum 2, and a Thalia. Then you had so much time. You always have to could press the life totals, and if you find a sort of fire and ice, it was probably game over.
Yeah.
Because it just ran away with the game, and almost every game versus top miracles felt the same. It's just get a Caracas, get an Aether Vial, and a Thalia.
Okay.
Try to get a sort of fire and ice, and just go to town. And yeah, then we went to GP Birmingham. I think in 2017 or 2018.
I think it was 18.
Yeah, 2018, I think. Also, yeah.
I think it was November 2018.
No, it was May. It was for sure May.
Yeah, it was 2018 because it was in
really?
Lexi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I started in December 2017 with Legacy.
Ah, okay. So, and I played that guy Ale there. It was during the Deathrite Shaman era.
Mm-hmm.
And I played to a 5-3, so I could reverse the record, which is actually great.
Yeah, but it is an improvement, so...
It's still my best GP result, so... And with no more Legacy GPs to come, I don't think I can top this, yeah?
Yeah, it was one of the last opportunities to get a pro point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's two.
And then I went on to get second at the Austrian Legacy Championship in the same year.
2018,
where I lost in the finals to Four Color Loam, where I played Letdredge, yeah. Which was just a beating. He had always the turn two schools, and it was just too slow all the time.
Yeah, and he was...
And he played so perfectly.
Yeah.
He said after the finals to me, he was a long time dredge player. And
yeah, he even prepared dredge for the tournament, but then chose to play for Focal alone, if I remember correctly.
But until that, I was undefeated on this day, and dredge was so the right pick for this meta. Was just great. And yeah, and then back to last year, 2019, where we all know with the recent power creep with Oko and all the things, I also got to qualify for the Austrian Legacy Championship, and I could win this whole thing with Hogak this time. And precisely the Chund version, because I still think Chund is superior to Bug, just because of Faithless Lutheran's card is just so great. It does so much more than Hydro Crab. And I think it's undervalued, actually. And I played a very, very interesting finals versus
Nykthit.
Bug, Nykthit. With Oko?
Was it like the Zenith Oko version?
No, it was another deck. It was pre the versions with Greens and Zenith, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't play as Zenith, but it played Oko, Plague Engineers, Veteran Explorer, Cabal Therapy, Chase, and...
A Questing Beast was played in the deck.
Questing Beast, yeah. And
I mean, the whole match should be available on the Spielraum website. Maybe we can figure out to provide the link to the match
in the
something
show
like show notes.
Yeah.
We have to figure that out for us. But it was an amazing match, and the casting is done, I think, in German.
Yeah,
but it's an amazing match to look into.
It was just... Yeah, I stared on the Oko, and I think I missed Lethal a turn before. and couldn't win anymore versus the Oko. And then I just had the idea, I had an altar of dementia and the free elk hogek and some zombie tokens. And I just took his library, counted the cards, and thought, maybe with four hogek sacrifices with altar, I can get there. And I got there. Match two and three were very unspectacular. It was just
beating an evil side, I think.
Yeah. I think match two was just me drawing nothing and he just steamrolling me. And game three was he mulled to ley line. I had the answer for ley line and combo kill turn two.
Yeah.
Which was great. So that was actually my biggest MTG accomplishment to this day. And we'll see which tournaments are to come.
Yeah. So that should be enough
for
the first episode.
quite a bit, yeah.
But it's good that we show off ourselves.
Yeah.
For the first episode, that we can figure out the technique for us to use for the podcast, and then to later talk about different topics, and we're clear about each other.
So maybe in the next one we can introduce the other hosts.
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be good, so that the listeners have something to wait for. So we can, yeah.
Any I mean, first, last words to say for the first episode from our side?
Keep on brewing, baby.
In response, the end.